The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" Jesus answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Jesus said to the crowd, "What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles us." Please be seated. Well, I begin this morning with a certain level of trepidation and also a little weariness. Trepidation because the events of last Friday and Saturday in Charlottesville were so shockingly vile that it's still unsettling to talk about and to think about. And wearying because I assume all of you are a little tired of the talking heads filling the airways with opinion and rhetoric about what happened and why and who's responding correctly and who's not. However, Charlottesville is the topic of the day and therefore important to talk about within the Christian context of the church. I simply would not be living up to my calling as your priest and pastor if I did not at least attempt to add my voice to the discussion and to invite us to think and talk together about what the voice of Jesus Christ would be. That's what we do as the body of Christ. Plus, I believe that we are in this circumstance as a nation partly because people like us have tried to stay above the fray, for too long, choosing to ignore the undercurrents of hatred and racism in our country rather than attempt to be part of that very emotional and difficult conversation. All the while hoping, of course, that those who are so publicly angry would work out their differences. But it hasn't happened. Instead of staying in the shadows, it is now front and center in our consciousness, and it demands our attention and our thoughts. So as difficult as it might be for us, we're going to look at our readings today in light of the last 9 days and see where we might find direction and hope in the Word of God. First, a word about what I won't be doing. I don't intend to rehash the details of the events. I assume that you have seen the video clips and read about all of that and have had your fill. Nor will I add my voice to those who want to argue about how our president responded or argue about whether or not we should be taking down Confederate statues, because both of those discussions miss the point and are just excuses to not talk about the main thing. The main thing is right here on the cover of Time magazine that came in my mail yesterday. Hate in America, particularly hate as it pertains to race. And through several articles, I haven't read all of them, I didn't have time, but I read a few of these, the articles in there, and they chronicle, some of them chronicle the history of racism, not just the events of Saturday, but also what has happened for the last 2 centuries in our country. Charlottesville, unfortunately, is just the latest example of terroristic acts by one group of Americans against their fellow Americans because of race. From the Civil War to the incarceration of Asians during the Second World War to the vandalism or burning of hundreds of mosques since 9/11 to the murdering of African Americans in their churches, prejudice and hate and fear have plagued our country. Charlottesville is just the latest perpetration of the worst side of humankind. So what to do? What to do? How do we, as honest everyday people who are just trying our best to live in a way that honors Christ and respects the dignity of every human being, how do we take back our country from those who want to frighten us into silence and isolation? Well, I'm not sure I know. But I guess I would begin with the words that we just heard from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah declares, "Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right. For soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed." Maintain justice. Do what is right. Do what is right in the anticipation of salvation. Let's start with that. Let's keep that in mind as we turn now to our gospel lesson and see what Jesus has to say about doing what is right. Our reading in Matthew begins with Jesus reacting to an earlier encounter with the Pharisees and scribes about Jewish purity laws. In the preceding verses of chapter 15, the religious leaders confronted Jesus about allowing his disciples to get away with improperly washing their hands before eating. And Jesus reacted by scolding them severely, calling them hypocrites. Even later goes on to say that they're like blind guides leading the blind. Why? Why? Well, because they worry more about watchdogging the intricacies of the law than they do about honoring God through genuine worship and service. Then calling the people to him, Jesus says, "Now don't misunderstand. I'm not telling you to indiscriminately break your traditional laws. What I am telling you, though, is to keep them in perspective. God cares much more about your love of him and your love of others than he does about whether you wash your hands correctly before you eat." Jesus says it is ultimately how your words and actions convey what is really on your heart that matter most to God. Therefore, worry more about the danger of poisoning your own spirit with evil thoughts and words and less about your religious traditions. Because he says, what comes out of your mouth proceeds from your heart, and that is what can defile your spirit. So that's our first good object lesson of the morning, to remember that our words, words spoken in anger or hate, hurt us more than they do our intended target. Because hateful words can only come from a heart full of hate. And a heart full of anger and hate will rob us of any chance to find joy and happiness in life. No exceptions. A heart full of anger and hate will poison our spirit and defile our relationship with God. Then after explaining this teaching and incurring the wrath of the Pharisees and scribes, Jesus leaves and he goes away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And there he encounters a Canaanite woman, a commoner from the outside of town. In the minds of the disciples, she is completely unworthy of their teacher's time because she's a pagan, a Gentile, a different race, definitely not of their own kind. And when the woman loudly insists on having a conversation with Jesus, they say, "Send her away. She does not belong with us. She's not a Jew. And according to Jewish law, she's also unclean, unfit for them to touch." And here she is, breaking even her own social norms by loudly confronting strange men and by being so dramatic and demanding. Probably made her seem a bit unstable. Because Jesus himself almost buys into what the disciples are saying. Or at least he appears to, doesn't he? Because his first reaction is to say to her, "Sorry, I can't help you. It's not my job. I'm here to save the nation of Israel. I don't have the time nor the resources to take care of all the problems of the world. You'll just have to go somewhere else." But the woman doesn't give up. She persists and even falls to her knees and begs him. "But Lord," she says, "I have nowhere else to go. Please help me. My daughter is tormented by a demon and only you can help. I will take whatever you can give me. Anything." Jesus refuses a second time. Even refers to her as having the same status as a dog. "I cannot take time away from my calling to Israel for the likes of you," he says. It's hard to hear, isn't it? Hard to hear from Jesus' mouth. We're so unaccustomed to him reacting that way to someone who is genuinely seeking his help, especially an outsider, the very ones that he is so identified with. I'm not sure why. There's lots of discussion about that in the commentaries. Maybe he was having a bad day and his humanity side had the best of him for a minute. But more likely, he demeans her for effect, intentionally demonstrating his previous intention about how harmful words can be and about how harmful words defile. But whatever the reason for his disparaging remarks, the woman hasn't given up. She's not deterred. "Lord," she says, "even the dogs are given crumbs after the master has eaten. Surely you can throw me a crumb, just a crumb. I beg you." And this time Jesus answers, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter is healed. Didn't get the crumbs at all, did she? She got exactly what she asked for. Exactly what she asked for. And I believe that Jesus saw something in her that the disciples had missed. Sure, he recognized her faith in him, but he also saw the love she had for her daughter, a parent's love that was willing to do anything and everything to make her child well. And that love reminded him and reminds us that we really are not that different from those others out there. People who may seem so different from us, different color, different culture, different faith, people who live in a different part of the world, even the down on luck folks that come to our doors looking for help, they long to love and long to be loved just as much as any of us do. Jesus sees that woman was not really that different from his followers. She has the same inherent desire to do what is right, the same desire to care for her loved ones. And so he has a change of heart and answers her prayer. And that's the second lesson for us this morning. Listen better. Listen better. We are all products of our upbringing. Things that we didn't choose are part of what shaped us and made us as we have matured. And that includes prejudices, prejudgments about things and people that are inherently part of our being. No one is completely without prejudice. Not even your priest. But I work on mine, and so can you. And the most important thing we do is to be honest about them. And then remind ourselves that we need to be more intentional about taking time to listen to the views from those who speak from a different perspective than we do. And like Jesus and the Canaanite woman, we may also discover things that we have in common instead of closing our hearts because of the things that make us different. In his life, Jesus came to give dignity and love to the unlovable. And in his death, Jesus died just as surely for the sake of those on the margin, like the Canaanite woman, as he did for you and me. He came to erase those boundaries that we put up to fend off people who are different, who are unclean. He came to bring God's love to everyone. I realize I haven't really done much to solve the ugly specter of hatred in Charlottesville. I return again to the words of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Do what is right in the here and now. Do not be silent and hope it goes away. Speak up when you see intolerance and injustice. And most importantly, talk to your children. Tell them about prejudice and racism and how wrong it is. Tell them that what makes America great is that we are this wonderful melting pot of different cultures and races and religions whose ancestors found their way here and have protected us to escape the exact kind of intolerance and hate that we saw in Charlottesville. Tell them that racism didn't end with the Civil War or even the Civil Rights Movement, that it still exists and will probably always exist, but that they don't have to be that way. Instead, they and we can be part of the solution by pointing it out when we see it and by supporting those people who promise to point it out and disapprove of it also. Do what is right in the here and now and leave it to God to do what is right in the hereafter. Let us pray. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, and especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatred cease, that our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.